Not a cloud in the sky, heading home for Thursday. Four down, one to go before we get into a sports weekend. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. We've got you on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, with your questions, comments, or suggestions. A big packed two-hour show today, taking you up until 6 o'clock in the High School Coaches Show with Justin Kenny. We've got Connor Esegian, who will join us. He made his big decision yesterday. We'll tell you who and why coming up with Connor Esegian a little bit later this hour. In hour number two, not only do we have our high school football picks of the week, get ready for it. Week number five, I'll tell you who's going to win the big games like Leo, East Noble, Dwenger and Carroll, Snyder and Homestead. I've got the final scores of all those games 24 hours, 26 hours, 27 hours in advance. That's right. I've got it ready for you coming up at 5:08 this afternoon. The high school football picks of the week presented, as always, by Midwest Concussion Clinic. And then we'll also talk to Judge Phil. Of course, Judge Phil has Fighting Irish Preview every Saturday morning. We don't want to wait. We want to get a rundown of what to expect with Notre Dame and Purdue coming up Saturday. So Judge Phil joins us at 5:20. And Tommy Schegler from Parkview Sports Medicine, he will jump in to make his high school football picks at about 5:35. Once again, we welcome you to the show. Of course, the Colts this weekend trying to bounce back after that loss to Seattle. They'll take on the Los Angeles Rams. And I started to try to break down this game and look at some of the research, statistics, look at how the Rams did statistically against the Bears. We all know that the Rams won the football game 34-14, but it was at one point 20-14. And so I wanted to see, what did the Bears do well against the Rams? What could the Colts use as far as video or film from that game that they could use to maybe scout or become a little bit better prepared for the Los Angeles Rams in Lucas Oil Stadium this Sunday? And I actually started to feel pretty good about the Colts' chances. I know on paper, I think the Rams are a better football team. I think the Rams are probably healthier than the Colts, who isn't, as the Colts still deal with trying to figure out if they're going to have either one of their starting offensive tackles available. You've got some other guys on the injury list. We'll check the injury list coming up in our second hour today. But there were reasons, as I broke this down, that I believe the Colts might just be a really good bet at 3.5 points. The Colts right now plus 3.5 against the Rams, and I don't feel too bad putting my money on the Colts. First of all, Frank Reich has had a history of bouncing back after opening losses. And so the Colts have generally won week two games after they've lost their opener. We've talked and talked and talked about the Colts' struggles on their opening game, going 0-8 now over their last eight contests to start a season. But they've usually bounced back well in week two. And so there's a few reasons why I think the Colts wouldn't be a bad bet at plus 3.5. And I know Mr. Vegas is probably going to jump in on this and tell me what he thinks. But here's some of the reasons I think you can believe the Colts have a chance to get this done. And even if they don't win, that they can at least cover the 3.5 points. You believe that Eric Fisher will play, and either Matt Pryor or Braden Smith will be at right tackle. I know that's a big wish, a big hope, because I'm not sure that either one of them is going to be able to go. But if you do believe that you get that at tackle, then I think you could take the Colts plus 3.5. Number two, the Bears ran for 134 yards on the ground last week. That's what the Colts need to do against the Los Angeles Rams to be successful. They've got to establish a running game, which they never really got off the ground, so to speak, against the Seattle Seahawks. David Montgomery himself went over 100 yards with 108 yards rushing, an average of 6.8 yards per carry. That's the kind of day that they need from Jonathan Taylor if they're going to be in the game against the Los Angeles Rams. I think it's going to be a challenge to the offensive line, whoever it might be, to try to run against this Rams front. We all know Aaron Donald is one of the best in the game. All you've got to do, basically double team him, run right at him, get at him before he has a chance to break off a block, and maybe you can get to that second level. But I like the Colts' chances to be able to run the football against the Rams. If the Bears could do it, and the Bears' offensive line is nowhere near as good as the Colts. In fact, even the Colts' backups might make the offensive line for the Colts still a little bit better than the Chicago Bears. I think the Colts have a chance to run the football. Number three, Bears only trailed 20-14 late in the third quarter, and they only trailed because of a couple of big Rams touchdown passes. One of 67 yards, one of 56 yards, where the Rams made the big play over the top. We all know the Colts gave up a couple of big plays last week to the Seattle Seahawks, so you know that's going to be part of the practices this week, and part of the film session is to figure out how to take away the over-the-top throws, what mistakes they made, and you've got to expect they're not going to make them 2 weeks in a row. So if you take those two plays out of the equation last week, the Bears would have actually been leading that football game 14-6 late in the third quarter. Number four, Stafford is 8-67 against teams that ultimately finish the season with a winning record. If you believe the Colts are a team that can finish 9-8 or better, then the odds may be against Matt Stafford. Now, I know what you're going to say, because I'm not giving you the complete story. Matt Stafford was the coach or the quarterback of the Detroit Lions for most of those 67 losses. That's true. But still, 8-67, he's never performed real well or carried his team against really good football teams. Number five. The Bears had just one sack against Stafford. They didn't consistently apply pressure. That is something the Colts have worked on for the last couple of seasons, is trying to get more pressure on the quarterback. If you believe that the Colts can get more pressure on Stafford and maybe actually get more than one sack, then maybe it's not a bad bet to take the Colts plus 3.5. Number six, the Rams only average 3.2 yards per rush, and they've got serious injuries at running back. Cam Akers, of course, out for the season. Then they end up with an injury to the backup. So they're dealing with guys, and I don't know what the status is going to be for Sony Michel this week. If he is going to get on the field, he really wasn't ready to play as far as knowing the playbook and being able to make any kind of contribution in week one. But the Rams did not have much of an established running game last week. That's where I think Seattle really hurt the Colts the most, was they were able to put themselves into third and short situations and always keep the Colts kind of on their heels, not knowing whether they were coming at them with the run or the pass. And so you got to take something away. And the Rams did not run the ball all that effectively last week. And finally, number seven, the Colts haven't lost back-to-back home games since the start of the 2018 season. It's been 3 years since the Colts have lost back-to-back at home. So all that considered, I'm not feeling too bad about taking the Colts at plus 3.5. Now, do I think the Colts are going to win the football game? I'm still a toss-up. But I got to make a decision, because we're going to be making our NFL picks here coming up soon, Caleb. I don't know if I take the Colts to win, but can I take the Colts comfortably to be within a field goal when it ends? That's the big question. And I can come up with, I guess, here's the thing. Whichever side you're on, you can probably come up with a list of reasons that it's a good bet based on the side you're on. I'm thinking of going Colts plus 3.5 because that's where my heart is. And so I try to make my mind match my heart. And I want to believe the Colts are going to stay in this football game and give themselves a chance to win and give Carson Wentz and company a chance to pull some heroics, or at least hold on for what I think will be a tight football game come Sunday.
Your blind optimism is
that might be a good word for it.
Impressive, I would say, for this team. Because, look, when I looked at the schedule, I automatically thought, okay, this is a team that will likely start 0-2. And I've said it before, it's the three games after that of their first five that really will give us a true definition of what this team can do. And one thing about the Colts, statewide, I feel like there's a lot of hype for the Colts going into the season, you know, getting Carson Wentz in the trade and, you know, getting the pieces, replacing the pieces they needed on the offensive line, re-signing Darius Leonard, re-signing T.Y. Hilton. I feel like there's a lot of hype within the state, but nationally, I don't feel like there's a lot of hype for this team. And I feel like that's warranted, because I don't know if they truly did anything to make themselves better in the offseason. It is Carson Wentz an improvement over Phillip Rivers? Very debatable.
Well, we made that point before, that the Colts, Everybody thinks the Colts are taking the next step, but it's like, how do you make that determination? What do you base it on? Because the Colts are coming back with virtually the same roster as what they had last year, adding a couple of rookies into the mix, but it's a very young secondary. They didn't improve at corner. They brought pretty much everybody back, but they didn't necessarily make an improvement at cornerback, and that was an area we thought they had to improve when last season ended. They found the replacement for Anthony Costanzo, and I think they did a really good job in getting Eric Fisher, but you don't have him on the field yet. That's a concern.
Assuming he is healthy, yeah, and can play and perform once that happens, big question mark. I guess what I would say is this is a team that, to me, is where I would expect them to be. Now, if they win the division but still lose, say, in the wild card, do you take that over what happened last season? I mean, based on all the hype that people are putting on this team, do you take that?
In other words, if you make the playoffs like you did last year.
Yeah, but win the division.
But you have a home game because you win the division, and then you lose at home.
Yeah.
I think that everybody is assuming if you win the division and get the home game, you are going to advance to a second playoff game. That's kind of the assumption, is that whoever plays at home has the advantage because they've got home field because they had a better record, which doesn't necessarily mean you had a better record. It means you won the division. Look at what Washington did last year in winning the NFC East. And the AFC South, 9-8 might end up winning the division. I mean, it's because Tennessee is very close to going 0-2, just like the Colts are about to go 0-2.
If you set the win total for the division winner at, say, 9.5, you take the over or the under?
For the winner, I'd have to take the over.
Yeah.
I think the winner, though, you start to lean toward maybe the under.
Exactly.
In that case, because Tennessee and the Colts are both going to play the NFC West. And so far, it doesn't look like the AFC South is going to match up all that well against the AFC West. The Colts losing at home to Seattle. Tennessee losing at home to Arizona. Now, Tennessee goes to Seattle on Sunday. Colts have the Rams coming into Lucas Oil Stadium, and then the following week, you could have two 0-2 teams that supposedly are playing for AFC South supremacy head-to-head. Very interesting scenario, especially when you look at the percentages that only 11% of the teams that start 0-2 end up making the playoffs. Well, you have to think in the AFC South that Tennessee or the Colts will make the playoffs, even though both of them might be 0-2. Going into that game, just because you assume one of those two is going to win the division, that it's not going to be Jacksonville, it's not going to be Houston.
Meanwhile, Houston somehow will be 2-0 going into week 3.
Well, Houston has Cleveland on the road.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So if they go 2-0, they pulled a major upset. And Tyrod Taylor is much better than we gave him credit for when he took over as the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. But we'll see. Tonight, Giants, Washington. I guess Thursday night, early bedtime. Is that? I mean, here's the thing, Caleb. I look at that game, and I don't even care that the over-under is only 40.5. I still would go under because I don't think you're going to see a lot of points in this game tonight. And I just don't want to have to stay up till the end of the game just to see if my under hits. Because that's one thing. If you take an over, you might be able to clear your bet by, what, early third quarter or something. If you take the under, you've got to stay until the end of the game unless they blow it away early. So we'll see what happens tonight. Giants, Washington. I tend to lean that Washington has an advantage here because they're playing at home. Even though they don't have Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't think it's a team that's built based on the quarterback. It's a team that's built defense first. We'll see what they do as far as managing the offense. I just don't believe in the Giants, home or away, especially after they lost at home last week to the Denver Broncos. So I kind of lean Washington. Yeah, do you have a lean in this one?
Yeah, I like Washington in this one. This is a very boring matchup, honestly. Here's something that's more exciting, talking about that football game. The Colts practice report is out for today.
That's what we were waiting on.
So the did not practice: Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, Xavier Rhodes, Braden Smith, Kwity Paye, Jack Doyle, and Kari Willis.
Kwity Paye, Jack Doyle, Kari Willis, those must have been rest.
Yeah.
Are they designated as rest?
So Doyle was rest. Kari Willis had an illness.
Okay.
Kwity Paye with a hamstring. And then for the others, Leonard still with the ankle and illness. Quentin Nelson, foot back, which, I mean, we've known that. Xavier Rhodes with a calf. Braden Smith with a foot injury. Again, really not many surprises except for Willis there, right?
Yeah, well, he's just got an illness. I think I think Quiddy Pay with a, what was it, a hamstring?
Yeah, with a hamstring.
That's a concern. I didn't know about that one yesterday. You know, that, now it's a position the Colts have some depth, but I don't know if they have the same level of talent. Quiddy Pay has really separated himself during the camp as far as being able to put a pass rush onto guys. So the injuries keep piling up. You probably open up the Rams list of who practiced and what they practiced today, and the Rams probably don't even have, I mean, it's probably like an empty graphic. They probably just have everybody other than a few guys sitting out because of rest. The Colts just seem to keep having these guys. So Braden Smith is still out. That doesn't make it look good for him playing. Eric Fisher, was he a full go at practice today? I don't think you mentioned Eric Fisher, did you?
Limited.
He was limited. So he practiced, but still was limited. Quentin Nelson, though, he was out yesterday. He's out again today. They're giving him 2 days off back to back. They really are concerned about that back, aren't they? Because that was the issue that he had prior to week one. So, I mean, Quentin Nelson might be one of those guys that doesn't practice and just plays games just to save the back. Who else did you have on there? You had Doyle, trying to kind of go through in my head. Darius Leonard. What was the status on Darius Leonard?
So ankle, which I know has been something, also an illness. So he did not practice.
Okay. Well, hopefully he'll be back for Sunday. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So the big announcement came down yesterday, and the big flag was displayed, the mighty red M of Wisconsin. Did you see what happened last night? It brought back shades of Colin Chalk. Oh, man. Yeah, they had this beautiful presentation with a video and everything for Connor Asesian to make his announcement. He picks Wisconsin, and they drape the big flag out for the Wisconsin flag, and unfortunately, someone got it upside down. And it ended up being what was a mighty big red flag with a bold M. So Connor Asesian picks Wisconsin. Not probably a surprise, but we'll get the details of it coming up when we talk to Connor Asesian on the program coming up at around 4:35. You know, it's the biggest offer that he had. Best basketball school, biggest offer, best opportunity to go prove yourself, earn your way into the Badgers lineup. And so, you know, I can't say that there's anything all that surprising about it. Now the question is, will he be able to go in and crack a lineup that historically has pretty good talent? And we'll talk to him about what he plans on with his career at Wisconsin coming up in just a few minutes. 46862, any questions, comments, or suggestions coming up next? Urban Meyer did say no chance. But was the question a setup? Started to listen to it, and we're going to get a second listen to it. And I think he was set up. I think this was kind of pre-staged for a number of reasons. We'll talk about that. We've got the NFL picks. And in our second hour, Judge Phil from Fighting Irish Preview, Tommy Schegler with his high school picks, and me with my high school football picks of the week. Man, is it a busy Thursday. We roll along on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix. 4 to 6, Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. 46862, the Parkview Sports Madison text line, 46862. All right, so Urban Meyer was asked the other day at his press conference, and you know, I knew the story. I even watched the little video clip on Twitter, didn't think much about it, heard his response, paid much more attention to the response than I actually did the question. But after you start thinking about it, it's the question that makes this so interesting. It's almost as if the reporter was fed the question, and maybe it's a reporter that has gotten some inside information. Maybe he owed something to the Jaguars, so he was doing, you know, they were asking him to do a favor for them. But clearly, it was almost a setup because, first of all, Urban Meyer was so prepared with the answer and response. But also, it was the way the question was asked. It was a very leading question, almost as if the reporter knew the answer and he also knew why he was asking the question. Listen to what happened at Urban Meyer's press conference the other day when he was asked about the opening at USC.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so you can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
Okay, so here's two things about the way the question was asked. First of all, it starts with, unfortunately for you. Why would he say, unfortunately for you?
Why does the reporter care?
The reporter is setting it up for Urban, like he knows what Urban wants to say in response. Unfortunately for you, like Urban has complained that this has surfaced and it's going to be a distraction. And so they're using this reporter in some way to ask a question. And the reporter asked the question almost like he knew what was coming as a response. I mean, he didn't say, did you want to respond to that? It was, did you want to take a moment to refute it? And by having this at the beginning of the press conference, what does it do? It takes the question away from every other reporter. So there's no other way that question is going to be brought up or asked other than the way this particular reporter jumped in right at the beginning of the press conference. And then the other thing about it was how quickly Urban Meyer responded, almost like he knew what the question was and he already had his answer ready. Caleb, let's play that once again. Just listen to how this sequence goes. Not only the question, but how quickly Urban Meyer jumps in to get his answer in there.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so you put it to bed.
No chance. Here committed to try to build an organization.
Have you ever heard such a thing, Caleb? I mean, that is not the way a reporter generally would ask a question. Usually it would be, your name is circulating around the USC position. What's your level of interest? What is your response to it? Not is, unfortunately for you, your name is being tied in to one of the best college jobs that's out there. Sorry to have this, to present this to you, Coach Meyer.
Is this a reporter for the Jaguars? I mean, seriously, anyone else asking that question?
Jaguars.com.
Yeah. If it's not for the Jaguars team website.
A PR person, a plant, something.
Exactly. There's no reason to ask the question like that.
But the other thing, too, is it takes the wind out of all the other reporters, because now the other reporters aren't going to come back and probably re-ask the question because it's already been asked and it's already been answered. He said, no chance. So, after I listened to it and started to pay more attention to how the question was asked, it made it much more interesting to me than just the fact that Urban Meyer said, no chance, he's going to USC, end of story. You almost think, okay, maybe there is a story and he just wants to get this out there so it's not talked about, it doesn't carry on. But it was a really odd situation. All right, so we have week number two, and man, do I have a bounce back due for me, because last week I had an awful week one with the NFL. You pick 'em. Caleb, you did pretty well. You're probably sitting there right amongst the leaders. I am sitting right there with a pack that probably feels a little humiliated after week one, but let's go with week two. You ready to do this? Here we go. NFL, you pick 'em. Caleb and I with our week two picks. Do we have our NFL theme music going? I'm ready. Starts tonight. It is the New York Giants at Washington. We've already talked about this one a little bit earlier. We both like Washington at home. The short week is something that most NFL teams have a tough time with, especially when they have to incorporate travel into that. I think the New York Giants just don't have enough offensive firepower. Saquon Barkley, is he really back? Didn't do much in week one against the Denver Broncos defense. I don't think he's going to do a whole lot in week two against the Redskins. Don't say that. The Washington football team's defense. By the way, we might know here's coming soon what their actual name is going to be. I guess they've got it narrowed down and they're in the final selections. They might actually have a name. But I think we both are going Washington here in this one.
Correct. Easy call. Washington. I think Heinicke coming in, there won't be a drop-off. I think you could argue he's done enough to be the starter after what he did last season.
I think we saw what the Jets are made of, and Zach Wilson is not enough to make them anything but a bad football team. So I'm going with New England to win on the road at the New York Jets.
Same with New England. I mean, the Jets, this is just going to be one of the worst teams in the league, bar none.
I would assume these West Coast teams that have back-to-backs in the Eastern time zone, probably staying in the East, like Denver. Denver is now at Jacksonville. It's the home opener for Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think that matters. I think Denver will get it done.
I agree. I just think Denver's the better team. Jacksonville seems to have some internal problems right now. Got to go with the Broncos.
Buffalo is at Miami. Buffalo 0-1, Miami 1-0, but I think both teams leave the field 1-1. I've got the Bills to win it in Miami.
I like Buffalo as well. I think they'll bounce back after a surprising home loss in Week 1 against Pittsburgh.
Philadelphia, I liked it, and I noticed what you did in Week 1. Yeah, you beat those birds from Atlanta, but you got to do it back-to-back. One thing I learned about this, Caleb, in all the years we've been picking, is never overreact to a Week 1 result. I used to do that, and it was a mistake. So I'm not going to all of a sudden jump on Philadelphia and say, man, they're a good football team. I still believe San Francisco's a better football team here, and I'm going to go with the team I think is better, and that is San Francisco.
Yep, I like the Niners in this one, even though they're on the road.
All right, I'll take my loss if it means a loss. I'm going with my heart over my brain. I'll take the Colts over the Rams.
You have time to change your mind here. I mean, there's literally no reason to pick the Colts based on the injury report. None.
Over the weekend, I will have the right to maybe make a last-minute flip. I just won't do it on the air. I'm going with the Colts. You going with the Rams then?
Going with the Rams. I like the Rams big, like 31-17.
The Raiders. They're going to be in Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a short week for the Raiders, even though I do like Derek Carr. I like the Raiders. I just don't like them with the short week in Pittsburgh, so I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Yeah, I like the Steelers only because with the Raiders, we still don't know what kind of team you're going to get. I mean, over the years with Derek Carr and with John Gruden, they're just so inconsistent. I like Pittsburgh.
The Bengals will be in Chicago, where Andy Dalton will be taking on his former team. I don't know if that gives Andy Dalton any extra inspiration, but I do think that the Bears at home will knock off the Bengals.
I'm going with Cincy in this one. Ooh. I just think more experience, and the Bears will play themselves into having to start Justin Fields soon.
After the record you had last week versus me, I might change that one as well, because we disagree right now on a couple games. Houston will be in Cleveland. Again, I don't want to overreact to what we saw in Week 1. So I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns.
Browns, easy pick.
New Orleans, they were impressive, though, against Green Bay. They are in Carolina. This game, I think, will be much closer than a lot of people will expect, but I'm still going to go with the Saints.
I have gone back and forth on this one. In fact, I left this one open before finalizing. I'm going to go with Carolina, only because I don't know if I can trust the Saints just yet to be consistent with Jameis Winston. He's a turnover machine. Yeah, he had a good week last week. This week, though, can he follow it up? I don't think so.
My concern is the Saints. They haven't had a normal week for like the last 4 weeks. And will that eventually hit them with all the travel to practice? They have to go to Fort Worth, and then they had COVID issues. But I still am going to go with the Saints over Carolina. Minnesota's out in Arizona. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll take Kyler Murray and the Birds all day in this one.
Atlanta, I know I said don't overreact to a Week 1 loss or Week 1 result, but I'm going to perhaps overreact because I have lost with Atlanta more than any other team, so I'm taking the Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay, to win at home.
Never trust the Atlanta Falcons, ever. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Tennessee goes to Seattle. Already said Tennessee's going to have their hands full with Seattle. And Tennessee's going to go on the road and somehow find a way to win. I'm taking Tennessee to win, perhaps a bit of an upset out in Seattle.
I'm going with Seattle only because Tennessee has some named guys, but I mean, with the new pieces and a lot of people upset with Julio Jones, I get it was one game, but they were completely outclassed at home. And going into Seattle, one of the toughest environments, good luck there. I like Seattle to win.
Justin Herbert's going to shred the Dallas defense. For that reason, the Chargers at home, I'll take them over the Cowboys.
I can't believe how close the percentages are here on the Pick'em site on this one. I get Dallas has a lot of fans, but that's just not a good football team right now. I like the Chargers. Like you said, Herbert will tear up that defense.
In Lambeau, Green Bay will find a way to win against the Lions.
Yeah, I think Green Bay will level it at 1-1 on the year by beating, I think, what will be a very pedestrian at best Lions team this season.
And then we've got the Sunday night game, Kansas City Chiefs at Baltimore. I like the Chiefs, 27-20. It's the pick the score tiebreaker, so I'll take Kansas City 27, Baltimore 20.
I got Kansas City 34-20 over Baltimore.
There you go. There's our picks. We will lock them in, and of course, you can make your picks at NFL You Pick 'Em. It's available to play for free. A chance to win two tickets to the Colts home opener coming up next season. Get yourself registered right now at 1380thefan.com. Connor Asigian, Central Noble standout. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. You do that on purpose, Caleb? Did you just happen to play Coach Kaufman and the Dons rejoin as we go to Connor Asigian, who had the Dons among his finalists but didn't pick the Dons? Did you do that just to kind of stir things up a little bit?
No, this is on a rotator. It just plays on its own.
Just a coincidence. All right, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline is the man who made his choice last night. He is committed now to the Wisconsin Badgers. It is Connor Asigian. Good afternoon, Connor.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And, of course, last night you took the stage and made the announcement that it was going to be Wisconsin. I guess this just makes so much sense when you look at the offers that you had. Wisconsin, a year in, year out, Big Ten power, certainly a great basketball program. It makes a lot of sense from the outside. From the inside, how did it make sense to you?
You know, there was a lot of different factors that went into my decision. And kind of the main thing was really just the relationships that were built with the players and the coaches. I know as soon as I stepped foot on campus, I could get the good vibe from the coaches that they really cared and that they wanted to build a relationship with me. And they showed that throughout my entire visit and just staying in contact throughout the phone. And as well as on my official too, when I was able to hang out with the players, they kind of took me in as their own even before I had made my decision and really made me feel comfortable and didn't have to make me change who I was to try and fit in. And that definitely stuck out to me as well. But really the play style too that can allow me to succeed at the highest level and a team that can compete to win championships with me being a competitor to want to win every game.
Connor, it's been a couple of months since you got the Wisconsin offer. Once you got that offer, was it basically a race that it was theirs to lose? I mean, did everything else kind of compare to Wisconsin and you just had to kind of make sure you were making the right choice?
You know, I wasn't really sure what to do at that point. I had a lot of really great options. And I still did, even up all the way until last night. So it was really getting the pros and cons of all the different schools that I had been in contact with or that I would cut my list down to. But in the end, that's just who I felt could be home for me.
By the way, on the big announcement, all the drama and all the pomp and circumstance with the video, with you coming out in the Wisconsin shirt, I do have to know, who was responsible for the flag?
You know, I feel really bad saying who it was, but I think I'm going to give it to him anyways. Go ahead and blame my dad on that one.
Yeah, I thought, how great, he's going to Wisconsin.
Oh, man. You know, what are the odds of that happening?
Hey, you know what? It made the night a little extra memorable for you. Hey, I do want to ask, though, one question. It talked about the fact that you did go through and let other coaches know that you were not going to be coming. How tough was that process for you?
Yeah, it was definitely the hardest part of the entire recruiting process. I know a lot of kids really just post what their decision is on social media, and that's how the coaches know. But I really wanted to handle it a different way and handle it the most manlike as possible. And so, I mean, for me, being a relationship person that I build off of relationships and thrive off of that, building relationships with all the great coaches that I was able to meet and then having to end the relationship like that was definitely extremely hard for me. And it wasn't something I really enjoyed doing, but I knew I wanted to handle it the right way. So When I decided that school wasn't right for me, I would give the head coach and some of the assistant coaches that I'd built relationships with as well and let them know my decision.
Okay, so you make your decision, you make your big announcement that you're committed. Do you feel a bit lonely today? I mean, you know, there's not all the coaches calling and asking how things are going and when you're going to, you know, when you're going to be deciding. I would imagine it's entirely different and peaceful now.
I wouldn't say peaceful yet. Maybe give it a couple of days after the decision. There's phone's been blowing up a little bit here recently, but there's still been a lot of coaches that I had told I wasn't going to their school that have still been in contact with me just to say congratulations and that they're happy for me. So it shows, too, the type of people that I was able to meet and how awesome those coaches have been.
Well, yeah, and of course, Connor, you and I both know there's always that free transfer. That, you know, they want to keep that relationship solid, buddy, just in case. You never know what could happen down the road. So what's the plan at Wisconsin? What have they told you about your chances to play as a freshman? Is the plan to redshirt? Are you going to come in and try to compete for playing time right away? What is the process that you expect at Wisconsin?
You know, they're going to be an older team when I get there. And that's something that me and my family had realized and talked about. But at the same time, too, Coach Gard, he really told me, he said, the amount you play as a freshman or throughout your entire 4 years, it depends on you. It depends on the work that you put in and the position that you put yourself in. He told me, he's like, I play the players that can perform on the court and do what I ask them to. He really put it in my hands into how I handle things.
Well, you've got a senior year still ahead of you, Connor, and I know I talked to you last time about you and Fletcher Lawyer, and of course, wouldn't it be just a coincidence here? You both are going to be participating in the Forum Tip-Off Classic down at Southport. Unfortunately, not against each other. You're going to go against Bar Reef, but you know that in many ways, that's something that you should feel almost personally honored by, because let's face it, Central Noble's getting a chance to be on this stage because of you as a basketball player and you as a recruit. So it should be a moment that you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I'm looking forward to. I know, you know, I haven't really had the chance to play him other than in the summer. He got me that time. So there's got to be a chance for me to get him back. And now that we're both going to the Big Ten, I know there'll be chances, too, to play each other every year. So
oh, yeah.
It's fun.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You'll be opposite Fletcher when you have the Purdue versus Wisconsin matchups. Well, congratulations on the process. I know, personally, there's some people locally probably a little disappointed you didn't stay at home, but I know everybody supports you and everybody feels really good about the fact that you're getting this opportunity at such a prestigious basketball school. So good luck to you, and we can't wait to see you finish up your high school career with your senior year coming up this fall.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, and thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. We always appreciate it, Connor. That is Connor Asesian. He is a Wisconsin Badger, soon to be Wisconsin Badger. He made the announcement last night. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Still coming up, we've got the high school football picks of the week. Tough week, a lot of big games. I'm going to tell you who's going to win, by how much, what the score will be. It's the high school football picks of the week presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic coming up at 5:08. And then we're going to talk in depth about Purdue versus Notre Dame, because we've got the judge, Phil Hauk, host of Fighting Irish Preview, joining us at 5:20. Tommy Schegler makes his high school football picks coming up at about 5:35, packed up until 6 o'clock. And then Justin Kenny takes over with the High School Football Coaches Show. Busy, busy Thursday here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.